So my international work expands beyond research, and I actually play the flute, and I spent a year in England playing in an orchestra, so I've got international experience in that way as well. So I'm going to follow up a little bit on what Joaquin was talking about in terms of work that's happening in Guatemala. And Joaquin and I work together, although we're talking about two separate programs today, but some of the background he's given has hopefully given you a context for the setting that we are working within in Guatemala, and I'm not going to cover too much. We coordinated hopefully enough beforehand that I'm not going to bore you with some of the same background information. I don't have any financial disclosures to disclose. So what I wanted to do was give you a little bit of a background on cancer care in Guatemala and a little bit of how global health and cancer care are situated there at this point in time, and then talk about a training program that we have developed, which again is a partnership between Washington University in St. Louis and the Cancer Institute down in Guatemala, and talk to you a little bit about that program and some of the elements and things that we hope are somewhat innovative to that program, and give you a little feel for the participants that were in it this year, and some of the evaluation data that we've gotten from it and where we're going to move forward from there. So as Joaquin was mentioning, Guatemala is undergoing this epidemiologic transition and chronic diseases are becoming more and more of a burden on the population there. Playing into that are a lot of other things about how health is really looked at and managed and determined in the country, and things related to the systems and the delivery of care. And he talked a little bit about the different types of hospital systems and where people can seek care and how care is delivered to individuals, how policy and care intersect or don't intersect, and where the potential for that to happen is. Another big issue is the quality of data that are available, and in particular, I'm going to talk to you in a minute about how that relates with cancer care. But one of the biggest challenges to really advancing health down in Guatemala is finding ways to bring about or help people develop skills to actually start to understand these relationships between what's happening in terms of disease change within the population, what's happening on the healthcare systems and delivery levels, how they can try to impact policy, how policy is impacting health at this point in time. And so focusing on this sort of need to develop skills and training is really where we were coming from with the development of the program that I'm going to talk to you about. Before I get to that, though, when we think about cancer care in Guatemala, INCAN, or the Instituto de Cancerología, is really the primary center for cancer referrals in Guatemala. And although cancer is seen in some of the public settings, the private settings, the social security settings, the majority of cancer referrals come into INCAN. And so INCAN was founded about 60 years ago, and it's funded by the Liga Nacional contra el Cáncer. And the Liga provides some funding for INCAN, but it actually primarily relies, about 80% of its funding is from out-of-pocket payment, and it operates on a budget of about $7.5 million a year. In the last 4 or 5 years or so, they've seen nearly a quarter increase in the new cases of cancer that are presenting to the Institute. So currently, they're seeing about 3,000 new cases of cancer a year, in addition to people that have been previously diagnosed and are returning for treatment and follow-up and management of their condition. So whether that increase in cancer is because there's more cancer in the country right now, whether it's because people are finding better ways to access INCAN, we don't know the reason for that increase, but the bottom line is that the institution is seeing more cases. They're dealing with more data. They're trying to find ways to better treat and manage these patients and how to handle this higher volume that's coming through. INCAN also serves as the primary source of Guatemala's cancer data. So any numbers that we see coming out of Guatemala in terms of leading cancers or cancer survivorship, prognosis, things along those lines are generated by the data gathered through INCAN. And even though INCAN, as I said, is the primary source of referral for cancer data, it certainly is not all cases. There are some that come through these other systems, and so it's not entirely representative of the whole country, but they sort of extrapolate and use that to base what the country is experiencing with cancer. When we think about challenges to cancer care down there, the picture in the lower corner is actually a picture of the medical records room, one of the medical records rooms at INCAN. And so they are heavily reliant on paper medical records. And we heard from Shelley sort of all of these challenges in dealing with paper medical records. And when you think about the fact that they are trying to serve as a way to get out information about cancer data, and they're relying on these records and going through these records and manually, I mean, that's taking a lot of time. There's a lot of disorganization, a lot of missing information, a lot of ways that this data are not collected in a very uniform or systematic fashion, which is a huge challenge to trying to move anything forward in terms of research. It's a huge challenge to trying to do any type of retrospective chart review. It's also a challenge when we think about the fact that there is no national cancer surveillance or registry. The data they put out about cancer from year to year, it's not collected in a systematic way. It's not collected on a regular basis. And so that sort of what we think of as a national surveillance program is not what Guatemala is thinking of as a national surveillance program right now. And there's a huge, huge need to build some infrastructure for training to provide people with skills to be able to start looking at things more systematically, data collection, to look at questions they have from a more systematic perspective. So that led us to trying to develop this pilot program. We received one-year funding, ERA funding, to build a pilot program that was aimed at training both individuals at Washington University and individuals at INCAN. And so we were really trying to build a partnership between these two universities. And although the funding was for a year pilot program, we all went into this thinking that it was going to be much more than a year, that we're trying to build sustainable relationships between the institutions and the individuals who are going to be involved. And so the goals of the program were really to look at building Guatemala's research capacity through the work done at INCAN, but also to build Washington University's capacity for international cancer research. And like I said, to foster collaborations and mentoring relationships that were hopefully going to be sustainable beyond this one-year period of time. But some of the key features of the program that we developed, essentially within a 12-month period, we were selecting and matching trainees from both institutions. And so we were creating partnerships where we would match a resident from Washington University with a junior faculty from INCAN. And so they would be matched up as a dyad, and they would be assigned a faculty mentor. And so these dyads were working together pretty much over the course of about 9 months to try to foster some of these relationships and growth. And we were focusing on providing the dyads with transdisciplinary training. And so we were giving them coursework, on-site coursework, both in St. Louis and in Guatemala City, that involved everything from basics of epi and biostats to research ethics to medical anthropology to cultural competency, and getting them to think about these things in relation really to the situation down in Guatemala. We felt that the on-site experiences in both countries were very important for both participants. Number one, it gave the Guatemalans a chance to come to a pretty high-functioning research institution at the U.S. and see how rigorous research is done. The idea to them of an IRB was completely foreign. When they do medical record review down there, IRB, what's that? No, we're just looking at charts. What do you mean that's human subjects research? So that was a completely foreign idea to them, and starting to see how research was done at Washington University opened their eyes to some issues that they hadn't thought about before. Equally important was the travel for our fellows at WashU down to Guatemala to get a context for this is really what it's like. These are what the medical records are like. You want to do a chart review? You have to page through these books and books of pathology reports to try to find what you're looking for, which, when you find it, may not even have all the data that should be there. So we had this didactic experience that took part actually over the course of a couple of months. And really, this first 6 months of the program focused on providing sort of this course-based training. And the second half of the program focused on having them apply that training to actually developing research questions and protocols that were driven by the needs of Guatemala, that were driven by the needs of INCAN. And so our residents at WashU went in thinking, oh, I want to do this project on leukemia or this project on breast cancer, and realizing that, well, that's actually not really what INCAN needs right now. And that was kind of a hard realization for them, that they had to adapt their interests to really what the needs of the country were. At the same time, we had all of these faculty from INCAN who were participating, and they all came, I want to do an RCT. I need to learn how to develop an RCT. And then taking a step back and saying, well, how can I develop a randomized trial when I don't even know what the basic epi of this disease looks like? And I have to step way back and start looking at some descriptive studies before I can even start thinking about interventions. So seeing these things happen, these realizations happen, was very important to the development of the mentoring relationships, the development of the research skills and design and things along those lines. Throughout the course of the program, we did evaluate baseline, midpoint, and final. And I'll give you a little feel for what that was like in a minute. These are just some examples of some of the projects that the dyads came up with. And you can see some of them are, the first one is looking at developing a feasibility of an electronic medical record system for INCAN. And that was actually the group that I mentored, so I have a little bias towards this project. But they really said, look, we can't do anything until we have a better way of collecting data. And if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. We're going to look at how we're going to try to implement some sort of electronic medical record within NCAN, so that moving forward, we're going to be able to collect the type of data in a more rigorous and systematic way. But we've got, you know, people looking at pain management, which is actually a very touchy issue down in Guatemala. The prescription of opioids is a very touchy issue among a lot of physicians down there. Cervical cancer screening, which is a cervical cancer is the number one cancer in women down there. And so looking at practices and knowledge about cervical cancer screening in rural populations is a very important issue to them. Our participants, So our participants, we had five fellows from each institution. We had five fellows from each institution participate, and of those, four of the 10 wound up being female. Two of our 10 fellows had absolutely no research experience before coming into the program, and the other 8 had very varied research experience, but it was, for most of them, was not much at all. We also had representation from several different areas of medicine. We had some individuals who were trained in internal medicine, some in surgery, and one of those was general surgery, one was surgical oncology, so we had a little bit of variation in the surgical training. We had one individual who was trained in palliative care. And so when we asked the participants at the very beginning what their goals were for this program, as I said, those of us designing the program went into this thinking that this was, even though it was a year-long pilot, that we were looking at developing sustainable relationships, and thank goodness that's what our participants were also thinking. When they were questioned about their goals in the beginning, a lot of them said, we're looking to develop some long-standing collaboration here. We're looking to develop some networking and things that are going to help us move research forward down in Guatemala. And that was said on both sides of the coin. We also found that they were really looking at developing research protocols that were going to kind of adapt these sound research principles to the context, the political context, the economic context of Guatemala, sort of the reality of Guatemala. They also were really interested in just learning how to read basic literature. How do I read the literature? What do I look for? How do I read the statistics? How do I understand how to make meaning of what I'm finding? How do I critically analyze articles and discuss articles? And that was important to many of the individuals as well. We assessed their clinical research skills, really their comfort level, their confidence in their own clinical research skills. So we did this in several ways. One of them was using a tool, a clinical research appraisal inventory tool. And so in this tool, we looked at several different domains, the ability to sort of conceptualize a study or to actually conduct research in a responsible way. And we saw great differences in their scores pre- and post-program. And so these scores were just total scores. Most of them were out of 100 points. One of them on here is out of 110. But we saw huge increases in their score before and after the program. That over that course of 12 months, they themselves felt more confident in their abilities to do these things. And even though we had a very small sample size, we saw significant increases, so we were happy with that. We asked the participants what they thought strengths of the program were, and they really thought that taking the theoretical to the practical was very important, that the ability for them to take what they were learning in the coursework and actually apply it to developing a protocol was very important. They also felt that that visitation between countries was critical to building relationships and to helping move this program forward. But they also identified a lot of areas for improvement and things that we are currently working on as we are preparing a follow-up grant application for a 5-year program. To build upon this. But some of the things that they talked about, there was a lot of frustration that the program support was limited to a year, that they all want to carry forward the projects that they developed. And our hope is that they will. Many of these projects are very low-budget projects, and so we're hoping we'll be able to piece together some money somewhere, somehow, for some of these projects to move forward. But all of them felt a great level of frustration that there was no mechanism within this year to do that. We also looked at some language barriers. We did require that all of the Guatemalans be fluent in English to participate in the program. We asked that the WashU students had a working knowledge of Spanish, and so we realized that fluency and working knowledge were interpreted differently by different people. And so we did have some language barriers, which we have figured out ways to address if we're going to move forward with follow-up funding on this area. So when we think about building capacity down there, we're thinking about doing workshops with key personnel to get buy-in from the Ministry of Health and Directorship of NCAN and things along those lines. We're looking at instituting journal clubs to really build that ability to start looking at the literature more critically. But when we're thinking about how to sustain something like this, this type of program, one of the important things was getting institutional buy-in, and that's on the part of both institutions. We ran into some technical, well, logistical snafus with the residents here, which I can talk about in questions if anyone's got interest in that. But getting some more buy-in from the residency program, which we do have now moving forward, but also getting institutional buy-in from INCAN, that if we want this to work, we have to have the directorship down there be willing to buy into this idea of making research more part of the culture of training down there. And so we've got some other issues that we're going to have, you know, to look at in terms of sustainability, IRB issues and things along those lines. But we've hopefully got plans to address some of this moving forward. So just wanted to acknowledge the co-authors on this project and co-investigators on this project and our grant funding. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Laura.